melted my faith. While the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow. There's no hope in the by and by.
Bless you, Lord.
But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll arise where the storms never darkens the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on the bright, peaceful shore in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Keep me safe, Lord, till the storm passes by.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, Sister Sally.
One glorious day, Jesus came and made me whole. He so completely then satisfied my soul.
He'll do it.
Now as I face rocks, dark troubles, lonely seas, I wonder if He is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what He has. satisfied, it's sufficient for all man.
That's right.
And I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied with me?
She loves when I get up here and I change keys on her. So I don't blame her, but I can't sing it that low. Through the sunshine and rain, even sorrow and pain, Jesus still is my comfort and God.
That's right.
And his love comforts me. And his grace has set me free.
That's right.
And someday, woo, I shall stand by his side.
I've got plenty to lead.
Thank you, Brother Nathan. Thank you. Good. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
The Lord's touching hearts tonight. And He wants to do that.
He does, brother.
He wants to bless us.
Yes,
sir. Appreciate the folks that use the altar.
Yeah. Amen.
God bless you for that.
Yeah.
And I think when a person gets broken, as I said, mentioned a little bit this morning, when a person gets broken, they're going to get blessed.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. The Lord says, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord will not despise. Yeah. And even our story tonight that I'm preaching from tonight, God, He broke something and then He blessed it. Blessed it and broke it. And I might say, I didn't say this morning, but those of you that are a few savvy and know how to do things, the camp meeting down in Dallas, Texas, we just got out of, it's on Victory Baptist Church Facebook. Victory Baptist Church Facebook. And I don't know if they've got it all on there yet, but they've been uploading the services, and it will eventually all be on there. If you want to watch it, you can see all the services on that. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to John 6. Appreciate that those of you pray for my father. He might be just a little better tonight, and also my wife, and she's not feeling hardly as good today as she did yesterday, but I trust she'll be better this week. All right, John chapter 6, we're going to read verse 1 down through verse number 14 tonight. We'll read down. And we'll read verse 5 together. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Read verse 5 together. It's a big verse. We'll go slow. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Thank you, may be seated. Father, we do come tonight to ask for thy blessings tonight upon the word of God that, Lord, we're going to attempt to preach tonight. And I know the Word of God is, the words of God are pure. And Lord, I know they're preserved. I know the Word of God, Lord, that you've preserved for us is a powerful thing. And Lord, we thank you for your Word. I know that you, the Bible said you have magnified your Word above all of your name. And so Lord, you think a lot of it. And God, as we ask you tonight to watch over it, to perform it tonight, and we pray tonight that it might strengthen the saints of God, be food for them. And also, Lord, that those that are lost tonight, maybe was here this morning, maybe come back tonight. God's been dealing with their heart. And we pray the Lord won't stop until they're brought to full salvation.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive me of my sins, failures, shortcomings. Lord, I confess I need you tonight to help me to preach. Help me, Lord, be able to illustrate. Lord, have the ability to illustrate. Lord, it's not natural, but supernatural. And Lord, give us deliverance of the message tonight and clarity in the meaning.
Yes, Lord, yes.
And Lord, we'll be careful tonight to give you all the praise and thanks, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You know, lost humanity is great, as I said this morning. It kind of goes along with what I said this morning, that lost humanity is great about giving excuses. And we have a wonderful illustration of that in Luke 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 16, the Lord gives a parable there of a great supper. And then said he unto him, a certain man made him a great supper and bade many. He sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now this is the great salvation supper.
Right.
Everybody's bidden to come. All things are now ready. And he said, and they all with one consent began to make excuse.
Right.
Yeah. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have the excuse.
Yeah.
So here's a man that God had blessed him. He's able to buy a piece of ground, and he said he bought this ground sight unseen. And so he said he bought it, so now he had to go see it, and he prayed that he could be excused. And then another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Here's a man that had bought 5 yoke of oxen. He hasn't tried to work them yet. He hasn't seen if they're any good yet. And he said, so I've got to go do that. And I said, pray thee, have me excused. And then the last one said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so we have 3 excuses there that are given by lost humanity as to why that they could not come to this great salvation supper. But I want to say tonight, it's not only the lost that use excuses.
Right.
The saved people also use excuses.
Amen.
We don't use excuses to not get saved because we obviously are saved. But we use excuses because we tell God why we can't do something. And I know the Lord called me to preach. I know I told the Lord that I couldn't do it. I said, Lord, I'm an introvert. No way I could stand up in front of folks and try to say anything. And I argued with him like Moses did. And Moses said he couldn't do it. Jeremiah said, I can't do it. He said, I'm just a child. There's no way I can do it. I guess every person that's ever been called to preach has probably went through some of that. And if you didn't and you thought you could do it, you shouldn't do it. Amen.
Amen.
But then the same thing is true of people. The Lord's trying to get you to maybe use your talent to sing or maybe to witness or whatever it might be, you know. But we can always find excuses. Now, here's my subject tonight. I'm going to preach on just a few minutes tonight. And this story bears it out. That Jesus is greater than our excuses.
Yes, amen.
Jesus is greater than any excuse that we might give. You see, this whole situation is probably set up by the Lord.
Amen.
And it said that Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. That amazes me. That amazes me that they followed him into a desert place. They skipped lunch. They kept going and looked like they might even run ahead of him, waiting on him. And they done all that because they wanted to hear him preach.
Amen.
We have a hard time of getting 30 or 40 together to hear us preach. But of course, we're not the type preacher Jesus was.
That's right, brother.
The Bible said, never a man spake like he spake.
That's right.
And so he was a great orator, a great preacher of the Word of God. And so we look at this, and so the Bible said, that they followed him. They done it because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus, he went up in a mountain and he sat there with his disciples. Now verse 5 said, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come unto him. Now here it is. And he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now we know in the other accounts the disciples said, send them away, get rid of them. The answer to this problem is just turn them away, get rid of them, and we don't have nothing for them. But we're told here that Jesus asked this question to prove him. He asked this question, verse 6 said, And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Lord always knows what he's going to do.
Amen.
I don't always know what he's going to do, but I'm glad the Lord always knows what he's going to do.
Amen.
I preached a message one time on a man with a plan. And the Lord's got a plan. He's got a plan of salvation. He's got a plan. He knows, Brother Eddie, what he's going to do.
That's right, Brother. Amen.
But Philip, here it is. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might take a little. So there's his excuse.
Right.
He said, send them away. We don't have any money to feed them. Send them away. We can't handle this problem. Just get rid of them. But we notice that Jesus is greater than their excuse. You say, what do you mean? Well, we know from the story here that Jesus took the loaves and then he took the fishes and he fed all of this multitude.
That's right.
Now, how did he do that? I don't know. The Lord uses some kind of a divine mathematics that's different from anything we have. Amen. You say, what do you mean? Well, he took these five barley loaves and these two small fishes, and somehow or another, Brother Eddie, he applied some kind of a divine mathematics and he made it work out.
That's right.
You say, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you what he done here. The first thing he did, and you see, this is divine mathematics because we can't do this.
Yeah. Amen.
But you know what he did? He subtracted without diminishing. You say, what do you mean? Well, he had these five loaves, these two fishes, he's breaking them off, he's subtracting from them, but they're not getting any little.
That's right, brother.
That ain't like our mathematics. Amen?
That's right.
It's a divine thing. You see, he can multiply by subtracting.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean? Well, he's taking away. He's all the time he's taking away, but yet at the same time he's multiplying.
Woo.
We can't do that. I'm feeling that.
Amen.
That's a divine mathematics that God is putting on this situation.
That's right.
And then he gets addition by subtraction.
Amen.
Again, he's taken away, but it's adding up.
Glory.
How you figure that? And then to beat it all, when we come all the way down to verse 12, it said, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be left over. In the end, the fractions are larger than the whole.
Amen.
Right.
He ends up with 12 baskets full. And he ends up with more than he even started out with.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Only God can do that. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's a good problem to have.
You see, God is able to apply them divine mathematics to your time.
You're right, brother.
Right.
It don't add up. Somebody said, ain't no way I can do it. Try.
That's right.
You'll find out that God will do more with the 90% left over than if you had the whole 100%.
Amen.
God is able to to take away, but yet we end up with more than we ever had. Amen.
Right.
That's God's divine mathematics. I like that. Amen.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Well, we see here about four things I want to give you tonight out of this thing here. And it was a problem. It was an excuse. They said, we can't do it. They used the excuse, we cannot do it. My old grandfather, Stanley Prophet, he used to always say, when he wanted us to do something, we'd say, we can't do that. He'd say, can't never could do nothing, boy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
A lot of truth to that, amen?
Amen.
But the Bible said here, the first thing it says in verse 2, in verse 5, it says there's a great multitude. Verse 5 said there's a great company coming unto them. And so they said, the people are too many for man. Philip, all the disciples saw this great multitude, and the excuse they used was they said, there's too many people for us to handle. Now, there was too many people for them to handle, but not too many for Jesus to handle.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so we see that. Have you ever looked out at the world, man? You get out, you know, like I was this week, and you get out and you see thousands of people and millions of people, and you think about all of them and all of them needing to be saved.
Right.
How in the world can they all be reached? And is it all true? Is there really something to it all? You see, with man, that's a problem.
Bless him, Lord.
Our excuse is there's too many. We're not going to try missions. We're not going to give the faith promise because there's too many. We can never ever reach them all. Well, with men, that's true. But you see, with Jesus, that's not a problem. He died for all men.
Amen.
John 3:16 said, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son.
Right.
He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Amen.
He said, I like 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 where the Bible says there that God would have all men to be saved.
Right.
Come to the knowledge of the truth that there's one mediator between God and man that gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is everybody going to get saved? No, but everybody could get saved.
Yeah, sure.
Amen. 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 Somebody said, will heaven hold them all? Oh, yeah. Earth can hold them all. Heaven will hold them all.
Right.
You say, how's He going to do that? I guess He'd apply that divine mathematics. Amen. I don't know. Math wasn't my best subject in school. I really didn't have too many best subjects. Basketball, I like that.
There you go.
I like lunch.
Oh.
Recess. And I could major in them. But Christ died for all.
Sure did.
And He has place for all.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, all 7 billion people on the earth, what if they all got saved? He'd have place for all.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen.
He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
That's right.
I believe the Lord is able to house all that wants to be saved.
Amen.
And I believe that all that are saved, I believe they'll all be housed. I don't believe you'll ever walk down the streets of gold and God and glory. And I don't ever believe you'll walk down through there and there'll be a sign on the mansion door that said for rent.
Oh, no.
Don't believe you ever see that. You say, why? Well, because you're eternally saved. Amen.
Amen.
Because you have a clear title to a mansion.
Yeah.
Amen. Nobody can take it away from you.
Yeah.
If you got saved, God's built it for you. One day you're going to occupy it. You're going to live in it, praise
Woo.
God.
That's right. He went forth and made it.
So, thank the Lord. And then He knows all.
Yeah.
You say, what do you mean? God knows everybody. There's a real great verse. And you never hear it preached or even mentioned, but it's a great verse.
Uh-oh.
Over in John 2 and verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says there, but Jesus... Talk about some folks that came to Him at this Passover feast. And the Bible said, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men.
Oh, yeah.
You see, the Lord knows what's in us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you ever see somebody come to the altar and they couldn't get satisfied? That wasn't because of the Lord.
That's right, brother.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
Amen. The Lord knows all men. He knows what's in us. He knows all about us. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
So even though there were too many people for Philip and Andrew and all the others, there was not too many for Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus was greater than the excuse that He gave about people.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 35, Mark 4. Same story. Over in Mark's account, Mark 4. In verse
35.
Let's see, I got the wrong reference there, I guess.
Check it out.
Anyway, it's Matthew 14 is what it is, Matthew 14. But they said they went to a desert place. Desert place. Now here they are, all these people out there in a desert place. And they say the place is too dry for them. We can't do anything. The place is too dry. But Jesus, it's not too dry for Him.
Right.
He's greater than the excuse.
Amen.
That's the excuse given by His disciples. We can't get anything done because of this place. You ever heard that? I've heard that. I've heard people say, we can't get anything done because this is a hard area. We can't get anything done because these are the last days and there ain't anybody interested. And we're in a backslidden town. We're in a backslidden place. We can't get anything done. Well, Jesus can get something done anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Even when He went down to Capernaum, the Bible said He couldn't do many works, but He did do some, the Bible said. Amen. And so the Lord can work in any place, the dry place. We're living in a dry time now, you know. But let us not forget He's the water of life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, it's a difficult place. Well, he specializes in difficult places.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremiah 32, verse 17. You know what it says there? It says, is anything too hard for the Lord?
Amen, brother.
You get down to verse 27, and guess what he says down there? Is anything too hard for me? You see, we use the excuses of a hard place. We use the excuse of it's too hard, but the Bible said there's not anything too hard for the Lord.
Right. Amen. Does all things well.
Do all things. Mm-hmm. You say, I got some youngins, and I don't know if God can reach them or not. Well, he says it's nothing too hard for them. He can reach them. Amen.
That's right.
He specializes in difficult places. Then they said this is a dead place, this is a dry place, and it's a desert place. And of course, not much life there. We do know the Lord found some green grass there, and he set them down on that green grass even in a desert place. You say, what's that saying? The Lord can find a blessing even in a place like that.
Amen.
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 You cannot get to a place that God cannot bless you. Amen. It may be a difficult time, a dry time. It might be a dead place, but don't forget, he is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
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 We always have our excuses, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The people are too many. Mm-hmm. People are too many. We say, well, you know, the country's gone bad, and there's a lot of evil people, and elections are filled with people that don't know God. And mm-hmm. That's all true, Brother Eddie, tonight.
Yeah.
In with us. But not with the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible says the Lord can take one person and make them like a thousand.
Yes. That's right.
That's how I pray. I pray, Lord, if we got somebody in the Senate or the Congress or somebody in politics that acts like they know something about God, I pray that God will bless their influence. I pray that God will make them more than a thousand of them others.
Amen. Amen.
Difficult. Difficult. We use all these excuses. You know what I think? Tonight, if I'm any judge of anything,
bless him, Lord.
I think God's hand is upon Bethel Baptist Church right now.
Oh, yeah.
As great as I've ever seen it in 35 years.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Bless you.
But if God's hand is upon the church as great as I've ever seen it, the devil's eyes on it.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, he's trying.
Amen.
Amen.
But God is greater than the devil.
Yes.
Woo! That's right.
And the Bible said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
That's right.
You say, where are we in? I don't know. I feel like we're at a crossroads. I feel like something's about to explode. I feel like God's about to do something,
Brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We have all these excuses that we use as to why God can't do anything. You know what I think? I think God can bless a church and bring a revival in 2016.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. I know it's difficult times. I know all of that. But I believe that God, all excuses we can give God, that God's greater than our excuses, Brother Ed.
Amen, Brother Ed. Amen.
Amen. I'm sure excited about it. I know that.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Mm-hmm. Well, you get a bunch of Baptists together, money always comes up, you know. And they say, we can't do this because the pennies are too few. 35 years ago, I walked up town into a little old storefront building, and it was a bad time then. I mean, economically, it was a lot worse, I think, than it is right now, economically, in that particular time. And I remember somebody saying, what are you going to do? I'm trying to rent this building to start a storefront church in. They said, you can't start a church now. Everything's too bad. Financially, you can't get no money. Banks won't loan no money to a group like you. And they were true about all that, Brother Eddie. But back then, I just ignorant enough, believed God enough, that I thought he'd do it anyway. Guess what? God did.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, I could have took the excuse and I could have said, well, he's right. There's no way. The banks ain't going to loan us no money. And the banks didn't loan us no money. But we rented that old building up there. And there's a man up there named Carl Fox. And we paid him
rent every month for that building, and one year it snowed about every week, and I'd have to take the rent over there to him because we couldn't have church, and I'd have to go around to the members' house giving up enough money to pay the rent. But one day I went over there and I started to leave. Mr. Fox said, "Hey," he said, "I'll sell you that building." I said, "Mr. Fox," I said, "there's nobody that'll finance us on a building." He said, "I'll finance it if you'll come up with $5,000 down." He might as well said $5 million.
That's the Lord. That's his place, Brother Rick.
Guess what?
What?
Yeah. Within 2 weeks, on a Sunday evening, I went home one evening, and I'm sitting there, "God, how could we get $5,000? And the Lord said, "That's easy." He said, "How many people you got coming?" And I figured up 20 or so people, I remember we had coming. The Lord said, "Take that 20 and divide it into that 5,000, see how much it is." Boy, that brought it down to grasp, where you could almost grasp it. I went back to church that night and I stood up and I said, "Church, here's what the Lord told me. How many people we got that can give, I think it's $500. How many people got to give $500? Boy, the hands went up. So what'd you do? We're here, ain't we?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We bought that building. We made the payments on that building. We paid the whole thing off, about $33,000 we give for the original building up there. And then one day we outgrow it. We're going to have to move. You can't do that. That ain't no way you're going to be able to do that.
Bless you, Lord.
They want $150,000 for this old lapidated sheet metal building right here that we're in now. And if you ain't ever seen the pictures of it, some of you, I got them right there in the office, you'll have seen them.
Yeah.
And they said we'd buy that building for, I think, $150,000. We put $150,000 in it.
Yeah.
Remodeling, redoing everything. There ain't no way. Divide mathematics, it's all paid for.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord.
We got it paid for before the bank said it's supposed to be paid for.
Amen.
You say, what is that? Jesus is greater than all of our excuses.
That's right.
But what they're saying, Brother Eddie, they're saying the pennies are too few for men, but not Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You say I don't know if they had 200 pennies or not. Maybe that's all they had, but they said that's not enough for all of this. What do you do? What do you do when you have a financial crisis?
Bless him, Lord.
Well, he gives us a little formula here. You might want to write it down. First of all, this don't just work for financial crisis. This works for all crisis.
Yes. Amen.
You say, where's that? Verse 11. Mm-hmm. Verse 11 said he took the loaves and when he had given thanks, wait a minute, there it is.
There it is.
First thing he did is prayed over.
That's right. Bless you, Brother Rick.
Boy, I tell you, you look at somebody who believes in prayer.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I've always been praying.
That's right.
My mama used to make us go out and get switches when we get in trouble. You had to go out and get your own switch.
Yes.
Oh. My mama told me, she said she sent me and Sheila out one day to get her own switch, and Sheila got hers and come right back and got her whipping. I still ain't got back. Mama said she looked out there and there's a big old thicket out there behind our little old tenant house there where we live. Mama said she looked out there and I was down on my knees praying. I've always been a praying man.
Amen, brother.
Mama said after I seen him praying like that, I couldn't hardly whoop him. Amen.
Amen, brother.
God bless my mama.
Well, there's been times that I deserve the whooping of Jesus. I just got off somewhere and prayed.
Yeah.
I think he looked down and saw me praying. He said, "Well, I ain't going to whoop him. Amen. I'm going to have grace. I'm going to let him go."
Thank you, Lord.
I got out there this week. I was packing Friday night, getting ready to go. And my wife come in there. She had a little wallet-like that you put credit cards in.
Yeah.
And an ID, and she come in there, and Zach had left it there, and she said, "Won't you take this with you?"
Bless him, Lord.
And said, "You can put it right here. It had a clip on it, so that way you won't have to get your biffle out all the time." I thought, well, that sounded like a good idea. So I put my ID in there, a little bit of money in there, in case I lost my biffle, I'd still have a little more money. We went out on the Tuesday, we went down to W.A. Criswell's church, which some of you don't know, but that's one of the largest Southern Baptist churches in Dallas, and he was a great Bible preacher and believed the Bible, a tremendous man. And we went down there all day. We went through that, all afternoon, we went through that big old church, seeing about 6,000 or 7,000 people. And just a humongous church. We went through that and all that. And then we went down to where President Kennedy was killed.
Oh.
If you've ever been down there, you know right there on the road, they got a big X right there where they shot him the first time.
Right.
You go down about 10 feet and they got another big X there where they shot the second shot. The old book depository building, they shot him from right up there. And we went in there and saw the window that he shot him out of and all of that. And boy, I had a tremendous time until I got home and started getting ready for church. My wallet's gone. My wallet's gone. Got some money in it, but more than worried about the money, Brother Eddie, I'm worried about my ID because I know you got to have it.
Yeah.
And I called the airport and I said, I've lost my wallet and I don't have an ID. Can I get back on the plane? She said, sir, you'll have to have that ID. I said, ma'am, I've got to carry a concealed ID. Will that work? And she said, has it got your Social Security on it? Number on it? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, that won't work. I started looking to be a church joint down there.
Right?
But I got down. Actually, I woke up every night. I was down there and I woke up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning for prayer.
Amen, brother.
And I got up that morning and I was praying there in the room to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I need a miracle.
Bless him, Lord.
I said, Lord, I've lost that little piece of leather, Lord, just 2 little pieces of leather. I said, Lord, I lost it, and it ain't very big, and it's a big place, Lord. Dallas is a big town, Lord.
Yeah, what you gonna do?
I said, God, if there's any way you can find that, if it's within reach, God, find it or help somebody find it.
Blessing, Father, blessing.
Well, I did my part. You gotta do your part. You want prayer answered?
That's right.
Amen.
I call that big old church. It's so big that they have people working there around the clock, and so they answer the phone 11 o'clock at night. I told them I'd been there that day, and I may have lost my wallet. And they said we'll look for it. Our janitor, security people look for it. And we'll call you in the morning if we find it. I said okay. I tried to call that Kennedy place, and it wouldn't open. So I wrote the number down so I could call them the next morning when I got to the church. And we rented a car to go over there in, and as I was getting out of that car, or sitting in that car, I went to get something out of my pocket. I dropped my ink pen down beside the seat there in the rental car. I couldn't get my hand down there to it, Brother Eddie. And so I thought when we get back over to the motel, I'll move that seat up and I'll see if that ink pen's down there. I didn't know I lost my wallet that time.
Yeah.
And so I got over there and I forgot about the ink pen. So that came to my mind and I thought, well, maybe it's in that car. So I called Brother Durbin, and he'd got sick. He was sick for 2 days, and he said, Brother Rick, I'm so sick right now that I don't feel like going down and checking it. Can it wait till morning? I said, sure. Next morning, I got up. Brother Durbin was down there. He's feeling better. He said, I already looked, Rick. He said, it's not in there. I said, okay. I said, you care if I look? He said, no. He said, go ahead. So I looked. I pushed the seat back and forward, and I looked. I found my ink pen. But I didn't find that wallet. So, there's a brother, y'all know Brother Jason Pilot. He was here in Jubilee. Brother Jason was there. And Brother Jason rode with Brother Durbin over to where the services were. And Brother Jason, now this is God. God could not have picked anybody better to ride with Durbin over there that morning for my need than Jason Pilot. You say, why? Because Jason Pilot, he runs a rental car service. And he said, Brother Durbin told him what happened, and he said, do you mind if I look? He said, we have this happen all the time. And he said, and so when I got over to church, I'm getting out of the car, Brother Noah Broughton, and Jason pulls in, and he said, hey, Brother Prophet, hey, Brother Prophet. Don't tell me God don't hear that. Amen. I tell you, thank God. I believe God can work miracles. I believe that when you need to have a problem, that you need to go to the Lord because
Amen.
He's bigger than the problem.
Amen. Amen. Very present help. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Faced it with prayer. Look here in verse 9. He said, well, there is a lad here with five barlows, 2 small fishes. You face, when you have a situation, you face it with prayer. And then you do all that you can do within your own means to find the answer.
That's right.
If you can answer your prayer, you ought to answer your prayer.
Yeah, well, that's
in other words, if you're praying for your neighbor to get saved, you ought to go down there and give him a tract.
Amen.
If you're praying for God to help you financially, you ought to start looking for a job.
Amen.
I remember I worked in the factory and I'd get behind and need some extra money and I'd start praying, God, I need some extra money, Lord. I need some money, God. And I was hoping, Lord, send it through the mailbox. I'd hope somebody wind up and hand it to me. But you know, I'd always came, that partner would come around and he'd say, we need overtime this week.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's how I got it. You got to find the answer. Now let me tell you something else. This is particularly true of churches. Look over at Matthew 17. And this is a good time of year to bring this up. Matthew 17, 24. And the Bible says, when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doeth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. In other words, taxes. And when he was come unto the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money and take and give unto them for me and for thee. Here it was. He said, Lord, we don't have money to pay our taxes. What are we going to do? Lord, we need money. The Lord said, go fishing. You know the answer to the church's financial problems? Go fishing. Go out and win some people to God. You win some people to God, they'll start giving and teach them tithing. They'll start tithing. That's the answer to the church's financial problem. Yard sales are not it. Naked car washes are not it. The answer, my friend, to the church's needs tonight is to do what God said and give to the Lord and pray over it and try to win people to God and God will take care of you.
That's right.
I know why some churches are dying. God ain't going to put no money in that church. You say, why? They're not doing anything He told them to do.
Amen. That's right.
God told us to preach the gospel, win souls. Go into all the world, amen. That's what God told us to do. I one of the greatest messages I ever heard Jack Hiles preach. And he preached on God placed the stock market. And what he preached on about that was he went to one of these investment places, one of these brokers. And he went to him and he said, if I had a bunch of money, he said, what would you think I should do with it? He said, well, he said, you'd want to invest that in something. You want to invest it in something that you might make some more money. You wouldn't want to just set on it. You wouldn't want to just keep it. And Jack Hiles said that God, He invests in churches that'll invest in bus kids, that'll invest in missionaries, that'll invest in some. God is not going to give a bunch of money to a bunch of churches just set on it and got CDs, rent houses and all that stuff. God's not in the rent house business. God's in the gospel business, getting the gospel out.
Amen.
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 I know a church right now that 10 years ago they told me they had $100,000 in the bank and don't even have a full-time pastor. Got rent houses that they rent out. That's a sin against God.
Amen.
You got missionaries begging for somebody to send them money so they can go to some foreign place, China, North Korea, some God-forsaken place, some dangerous place. You got somebody saying, I'll go, I'll preach, and somebody will give me some money, and a church set with $100,000 in the bank buying up rent houses. That's an abomination of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go fishing. Amen. I told them this week, actually preaching from this same story, not the same message, the same story. And I said, you see, the Bible says we're fishers of men.
That's right.
Amen.
You ever know a fisherman didn't lie?
It was that big, Rick.
Yeah. You know, you go catch that little bass about that long.
Mm-hmm.
You come home and tell your wife, I caught a fish this long.
Just like that.
Well, preachers do the same thing, you know. Right now, looking at a crowd like this, I'd guess to make 200 here tonight.
Yeah, brother.
Amen.
You go down on Monday morning and meet the other pastor, you know, and he say, how many did you have? Well, we probably had close to 300 this morning. You know, it comes with a trade. The Bible said we're fishers of men. Amen.
Amen.
But Brother Eddie, the thing about it is that they found their money when they went and done what Jesus said do. And Jesus said, go cast a hook in the water. Go out there and fish. Amen. Amen. God bless you for it.
Yeah.
Pennies are too few for men, but not for Jesus. He said 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may just take a little. Provisions were too little for me. They said we got 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and even if we broke that up, everybody got just a little.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're talking about a crumb.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
They said we don't have enough here to feed all these people. Even Andrew in verse 9. Even Andrew. Andrew's usually the one that's on target, and even Andrew gives an excuse. And Andrew said, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Verse 8 said one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, is the one that said that. And even old Andrew's given an excuse. But notice this. And he was right. I mean, looking at it from a human perspective, looking at it for what man can do, he told the truth. But you see, we can't look at things as to what man can do. We look at things as to what God can do. Amen.
Amen.
Don't forget that principle at the beginning of this story, those divine mathematics.
Yeah.
God's able to make things add up.
That's right.
It makes sense. Amen.
Yeah. Little cruise hole.
I know there's people here tonight that you added it up and there's no way you was going to make it through the month, but when you got through, you made it through the month. Amen. You say, how's God do it? I don't know how God does it. He's just God. He can do it.
Oh, yeah.
But they said there's not even enough that everybody could just get a little bit. But look in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 20. What did it say there? It said, and they did all eat
and were filled.
Yeah. They just didn't get a pinch.
They didn't just get a pinch.
They got all they want.
I mean, they ate and ate until they loosened their belt buckle up and scooted back on the ground and said, oh, I think I'm going to die. I mean, they filled themselves up. They ate till they're full. They got all that they wanted. Amen.
They
filled it up. Here's a miracle. Matthew, Mark, John. Don't matter where you want to look. Nobody complains.
Hey, man.
It's only getting better.
Nobody said this fish is too done. Nobody said this bread is stale. Nobody said this fish here, it looks like it's not cooked enough. The Bible says here that they were all satisfied and no one registered a complaint.
Amen.
Glory to God. Jesus is in the midst. Amen.
Because
I'm telling you, human beings are just bent to complain.
Yeah.
Amen. We're just made that way. I do it. I try not to, but I don't always have 100% success.
Yeah.
Amen. We're just made to complain. But he failed them. They said it won't even be enough. He failed them to the full. Number two, satisfied. Nobody even complained.
Content.
I don't know about you, but I've been satisfied with the Lord.
Amen.
When I look back over the last 35 years, I'm satisfied with the Lord.
Amen, Brother Rick.
I hadn't always been satisfied with people. Never been satisfied with myself.
Amen.
But I've always been satisfied with the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, amen. I think it, the Bible writer was right when he said he does all things well.
That's right.
He does.
Amen. I believe that. Amen.
Yes, sir.
If you live for God and serve God, and love God.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
God will be faithful.
Yeah, he will. That's right.
Amen.
One of the verses I grab usually every morning is over in Lamentations 3. Where the Bible said, this I call to mind, therefore have I hope. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. Yeah. And on down through there it says, great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness. I told you, Brother Kenny never had flu before. He's tore up.
Oh.
He said, "You sit by the window." I'm not sitting by that window.
Bless his heart.
He didn't say, "What's it look like down there?" I said, "Well, look." He said,
uh-uh.
40,000 feet in the air. I said, "Hey, Kenny."
Yeah.
He said, "What?" I said, "Read this. Joshua 1 and 8. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest."
Amen. Bless his heart.
Be strong, be of courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, "That's good." I'm
preaching.
He said, "That's good." Amen. God is faithful.
Amen.
You say last night, they didn't have enough to start with. They didn't even have enough to feed them. They said, "There's no way. We don't have enough. But we need to send them home." But Jesus is greater than their excuse.
That's right.
So what do you mean? He fed 5,000 men. Men can eat a lot.
Yeah.
He fed 5,000 women.
That's right.
And he fed 5,000 children. They can waste a lot.
Oh yeah.
That's 15,000.
But when they got done, and I'm guesstimating that, I know there were 5,000 men. I don't know how many women and children there were.
Yeah.
I know they put them in companies of 50 and set them around. They count them. Here's what I'm saying. When they got done with everything, verse 12 said, the Lord said, when they were all filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." The Lord's not a waste. Amen. The Lord, he gathered it up. And you know, we speculate what he did with them 12 baskets. The obvious reason is that he gave all the disciples one. You say, "Well, what about the little boy? He's done stuffed himself."
Amen, brother.
He's done stuff to himself. Wouldn't you like to have been there when he went home to his mama that day?
Yeah.
How was your lunch, son?
Oh.
That's
mama, you ain't going to believe it. My lunch fed 10 to 15,000 people. Boy, you better quit that line.
Yeah. Better go get a switch.
No, mama, I'm serious. I give my lunch to a man named Jesus, and he blessed that lunch, and he fed all of them with it, mama, and had 12 baskets full left over. You know what that tells me? That tells me Jesus can do more with what I've got than I can do.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
Bring it to me.
We need to give our life to the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
We need to give this church to the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, we need to give what the Lord's given us. We just need to turn around and give it back to him.
That's right.
Amen. You heard about the little boy that had a terrible problem with lying. He'd tell some of the biggest ones you ever heard.
Walters, huh?
One day his mother told the pastor, said, "Would you talk to my son?" He said, "I'd be glad to." Said he exaggerates, he's the biggest liar ever was, and I took him to the psychologist, I took him everywhere, nothing's helped. He said, "I'll talk to him, bring him down here." Pastor prayed. Asked the Lord what to do, and he came up with this idea. He tore his office all to pieces. Just turned the chairs over, throwed the books out in the floor, knocked windows out, and just dirtied up the everything. And the little boy came down there, and the little boy said, "What in the world happened here?" And he said, "Well, son, you ain't going to believe this, but said a big grizzly bear come out of that woods up there. And he come down here into this church, and he done every bit of this damage." And he said, "Right just at the last, I thought he was going to get me." So a little old bitty dog come in, started barking him, run him out, run him back up in the woods. He said, "You believe that boy?" He said, "Yeah, that's my dog."
That's my dog. He probably don't even have a dog.
One of the greatest book Vance Hayden ever wrote, I think.
That's
called
funny.
Lord of the Leftovers.
That's funny.
Use this scripture right here, Lord of the leftovers. Some people, all they got's leftovers. What's left of a broken marriage?
Right.
What's left of a broken life?
Right, brother.
What's left of broken health? What's left of broken finances? All they got's just a bunch of leftovers. Lord said, "Give them up
to me. Bring them to me.
I'll do something with it."
That's right.
I'm glad that God has ordered leftovers. Now, most people don't want leftovers. Most people don't like leftovers. Sometimes leftovers even better.
Boy, that's right, buddy.
Take them leftovers. Pinto beans.
Hallelujah, brother.
Leftover soup. Sits there and all that gets in there. It's even better, praise God.
Amen.
The Lord to take some people's leftovers, they'll bring them to Him.
That's right.
He'll make their life better with what's left over than what it was with
That's
you.
That's right, brother. That's right.
What they ever had.
That's right.
That's the God we serve.
That's right.
I want to leave you with this thought tonight. Jesus is greater than all our excuses. Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
Sure is, brother.
Whatever excuse we have,
yeah,
the Lord's greater. We just need to learn to trust Him.
Amen.
We just need to learn
trust
to step out in faith.
The way.
Just yep. Believe it and trust the Lord.
God
will take care of us. Lord, I thank you tonight. I love this place in the Bible.
Thank you, Lord, for your precious word.
It's so helpful to us as Christians. And it magnifies you, Lord, as to what you're able to do. And Lord, I know from my own personal life, Lord, there have been some times we didn't have nothing, Lord. We just barely didn't know how it was going to make ends meet. And I remember at least a time, Lord, when we just needed some groceries, just needed some things. Lord, you've always applied those divine mathematics, made things work out. You've always, Lord, sent somebody just at the time. Sometimes somebody's at the right time. You've always supplied their needs. Trying to learn, Lord. Still not 100%, but I'm just trying to learn, Lord, to just take what we've got, put it in the Lord's hands. Do what He tells us to do. We'll be amazed at what Jesus is able to do. What Jesus is able to do. Now, Lord, I pray tonight in this service. I hope tonight the service has helped somebody. Maybe it's cheered somebody's depressed, discouraged heart. Maybe it's cheered them a little bit. That'd be good. Lord, maybe tonight, Lord, if somebody that's kind of in a situation, they don't know how it's going to work out, maybe it helped them to have a little bit of faith. The Lord can do it. Nothing's too hard for the Lord.
Amen.
Father, you just know the needs here tonight. Lord, you search every heart. And just help us, Lord, to hear from the Word of God. And I do believe, Lord, you've got your hand on the church right now.
Yes.
I don't know what you're going to do, Lord, but I just know your hand's on this church right now. And God, I pray that your will be done. Lord, you'll make this place whatever you want it to be for you here in Glasgow, Kentucky. Thank you for what you have done. It's amazing. We give God the praise, the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand if you may, please, tonight.